Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I think I have a short message today. Full of the Word of God. In order to help facilitate our hope, our vision, our faith against all the things that this life would throw at us and attempt to discourage us and by circumstance, if possible, blind us to the reality of this relationship that we are having with God and that God is having with us. Peter says in the first chapter of 2 Peter, the 13th verse, it says, "Yea, I think it meet, or I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Remembrance of what? Remembrance of the promises. Remembrance of the pictures that God has painted through His Word, that we might continue in faith. Speaking of Jacob, of Abraham, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, 10th verse, it says, "Of Abraham, the father of faith, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." It goes on to say in the 13th verse, "These all died according to faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." Paul says, speaking of the resurrection, which is the foundation and cornerstone of the Christian faith, not religion, of the Christian faith, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, I had it marked, but apparently I've lost my place. He says, in the 19th verse, "If in this life only. Folks, I'm trying to communicate. We cannot judge the promises of God by earthly circumstance, for the God of this world is here to constantly attempt to thwart our faith. He had the audacity to tempt Jesus himself, the Son of God. And rather than condemn him, Jesus used the Word of God to put Satan in his place. And Paul says in that 19th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, do I get caught up in that? I do. I have to confess, I do. You know, that's why, you know, there are days, you know, I go and buy a lottery ticket. I got hope in this life, but thanks be to God. Through His Spirit, He has brought forth His Word, and it does cause my attention to turn from this life to that life which God, through faith in Jesus Christ, has put in me and put in you, that we might keep our hope in the eternal Word of God and not lose hope through circumstance down here. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are most miserable of men. I want to tell you, you know, you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and as it's chronicled in Acts, as it's chronicled in many of his epistles, it was a pretty miserable existence. But in spite of it all, his great hope, his firm faith in the Word of God would not allow circumstance to cause him to lose sight, to fail in understanding that in fact God has eternal purposes, as Paul said in the Hebrews letter, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims down here. Something that has stayed with me for several days now, I want to share. All that was prelude to a psalm of David. It's Psalm 17. He says, "Hear the right, or hear justice, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. For thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am persuaded that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer." You know, there was an old church father whose name was Theodore Sett, who said, "You know, if I can't find it in the old, I won't preach it in the new." David here is somehow or other trying to justify his existence. I would say that these words are more prophetic than they are literal, because we know the story of David. God told on him, and he, like us, is found coming short of the glory of God as Romans 3 says, "All have sinned." Hamartia is the word, is the Greek word found throughout the New Testament, and it means to come short. Sin. First Corinthians 1 tells us that God has made Jesus unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, which means separation, separation from among those he did not for himself choose out, as opposed to those he did for himself choose out in Christ. I don't want you to be fooled by having some false testimony that might suggest David was other than us. He wasn't. He's trying to justify himself, but he says, "I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." But then he talks to God. He says, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, and my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee. Thou wilt hear me, O God, Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. Chesed is the word. Mercy. Mercy. O thou that saveth by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee. Here's the heart of it, folks. Here's the heart of it. O thou that saveth by thy right hand them that put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. We encountered these verses in Psalm 91. I love God's repeatables. They put me, and I hope you, in remembrance. Keep me as the apple, that is the pupil, that is that which no thought process has to come. It's an involuntary action when something is about to attack the pupil, a bug or dust or anything. The eyelid is so conditioned, it's an automatic response that it closes to protect the pupil. And God as the apple of his eye does protect us. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me from what? From the wicked that oppress me. My deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. I think a better translation and justified in the original is, rather than bowing as some form of worship, it's crouching. And it's supported by the next verse. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. That word, lurking, is an attitude to perpetuate a crime. David says, "Arise, O Lord. Disappoint him." I like that word, disappoint. My King James offers an alternative. It says, prevent his face. I like disappoint. Do you know, when we hold fast to our faith, when we speak boldly of the promises of God, it's a great disappointment to Satan. When we complain about our circumstance, he thinks he's gaining an inroad. Let's continue to disappoint him. Arise. eyes, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked. By thy sword. And Ephesians 6 tells us, the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. Deliver my soul from the wicked. From men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, not like us strangers and pilgrims. From men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hidden, with thy hid, it says, added by the translator, treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Here's the verse, folks. David, seeking to be justified, tells us that God saves those who put their trust in him, that he saves by his right hand, who's at the right hand of God? It is Jesus Christ, that he saves by Jesus Christ those that put their trust in him. After doing a little bit of his complaining, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. On several occasions, we've talked of the Christian attitude that death is just a beginning. Death is just a beginning to those who are trusting God. David says, as for me, this is my testimony, because it is the promise of God, as in one place referred to in 1 Corinthians 1:30. And God has made him, that is Jesus Christ, unto us wisdom and righteousness. If your righteousness is your personal testimony, God help you. But to those whom God is helping, their testimony is their righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's the source of that phrase used three times in the New Testament, that the just, not the just, the righteous by faith shall live. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. That's a condition, folks. It's a condition provided by God that we have hope in, because God said it. David concludes, "Here's my satisfaction. I shall be satisfied when I awake in the newness of life, in the resurrection of the body, of whom Christ was the first fruits. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also enter our mortal bodies. The result of which, when we awake with thy likeness, with thy form, when circumstance is pressing in, when our situation might suggest to us no hope, the faither, that is, the one operating in faith, like David, who, because he's included in that Heroes of Faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, of whom it is said of all of them that they were strangers and pilgrims. When things are getting you down, get your focus on God and with the heart believe, with the mouth make declaration. Act in faith, using words, and say as David did, "As for me, I will behold, I don't care what I see in this earth, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." That's our hope. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness that God gives. His grace. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, with thy form." I don't know all the mysteries of God, but I know that Jesus in his great prayer of John 17 says to the Father of those whom God in Christ has chosen out for himself before the foundations of the world, Jesus says to the Father, "Father, make them one as we are one." That doesn't mean singular, it means of one company. This is our hope. Our hope is in eternity. And we shall be satisfied when we awake and see the fulfillment of God as he gives us his form. And that's the God School. for today.